Hello, dear heart. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in. Maria, good morning, beloveds. It's been a minute since we've been in this podcast field together. I have had a lot of things happening in my life, and yeah, podcast editing just went right back, but I'm super grateful to be here, to be connecting with you, and to share the episodes that are coming up. It will be sporadic, as in how I can share my energy, which very much ties into today's podcast with Sandra Walker, who talks us through the weave of our cycles, and particularly menstrual cycles for women, and how that ties into our way of life, the right decisions we can make. She calls this soul regeneration for our menstrual intimacy, and a deep remembering of the four cycles within each menstrual cycle that we have. And it was just a really nourishing conversation to re-listen to. We recorded this first on the 2nd of November in 2023. So it's recent-ish, but also a while ago. And this information really landed with me where I am at this time. So Sandra's last name is also Walker, but we're not related. We met in other ways, and we've been weaving together for quite a while, really, in different capacities. I'm so excited you get to meet her. Also, a few notices, I guess that's what you call them, a few pānui. There's some different workshops coming up on the 22nd and 26th of June. We're doing our Kopu Huri, which is the womb work, woman's work, wānanga, or workshop. And this will be based in Perth. On the 29th and 30th of June, we are going to be doing a two-day experiential Ruminomi workshop in Ototahi in Christchurch, and on the 17th and 18th of August there'll be a two-day Mirimiri workshop. And all of these are different ways to connect with the work. The Kopu Huri or the Pari Wahine does require that you're either a practitioner or have done some other training with us, but the Christchurch, Ototahi, and Mirimiri training in Perth is open to those who want to connect with. So I'll pop some links below for you to check those out. If you do feel the call, I would love to connect with you. I'm super excited to be sharing in Aotearoa. As you guys probably know, I'm based in Borloo or Perth, Western Australia. And yeah, it feels nourishing to come and share home and share, to have been invited, and also to connect with the Tauira, those who are practicing at home who've woven with me over the time. I'm super excited. If you do feel the pull, please reach out. So welcome everyone to our podcast, and today we're with Sandra Walker from Soul Regeneration, and we're going to be talking about the topic of menstrual intimacy, which is super exciting. And I can't remember how long ago I met you, but it's been a while.
Yeah, maybe like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, Sandra's been a really nourishing, beautiful part of my life, weaving in and out at different points. And we used to be in a conscious conversations group, which was really beautiful at that time, with a bunch of beautiful people. So I feel as if those lessons for me have carried on into my life well beyond that point.
Oh, it was a special time.
Yeah. So welcome today. And do you want to share a little bit about how your journey's led you to exploring menstrual intimacy at this time?
I discovered a book called Wild Power about when I was in my late 30s. And in fact, I actually bought the book. I came across it. I thought, oh, that sounds like a really empowering way to experience your menstrual cycle. And I bought it for my niece, who was 13 at the time, I think. And so she was just about to step on that path. And I thought, you know, this feels like a really nice way to begin that journey. I don't know if she ever actually read the book. Sort of, I had it at the back of my mind for a few years, I must read it. Like, you know, I was like, I know this is calling me and I need to read it. And for some reason at the time, I thought that I was sort of vaguely remembering my mum's journey with menopause. And I figured that in my early 40s, I would probably start down that path. I later discovered that actually it was perimenopause that she was in at that in her early 40s, and she had been prescribed HRT for it, and it was all just packaged in this bubble of menopause. So late 30s, I had this sense of urgency to really get to know my period before it was gone. I eventually got around to reading the book, and I was just blown away by it. And I thought, well, great in theory, but does this actually work? So I was like, okay, I potentially only have a few years left to actually try this out. And so I want to know if what they're saying in this book is actually true. And I want to live the experience of it if it is. That's how I began it. Although I was very much in the spiritual realms by that time, it wasn't something that I had intended to be a part of my business. It was my personal journey. Possibly having been a mum since the age of 35, it's probably the first thing that I had done solely for me for a very long time. It just opened up a whole new way of being for me, a whole new understanding of who I was. I'd spent the previous 10 years on this spiritual journey of trying to discover who I was and never touched the places that this brought me, because I figure possibly because I'm not discounting all of the spiritual journey that I'd been on up until that point, because it was all relevant and impactful, but this came from within me. This taught me, gave me a roadmap to within me. It's the beginning of a relationship with yourself that you can't get from anywhere else, I feel. It's encoded in you as a woman, you know, and it's, I, like most other people, knew that, I knew a lot about menstruation. I had been a reflexologist for about 10 years at that point, and I had done a lot of extra study in fertility reflexology and in pregnancy reflexology. Fertility was one of my big passions at the time, and so I knew a lot about the cycle, and this wasn't that. This was something entirely different, and so I've been with it every day since. It incorporated itself into my practice. So I would work with women who would come to me with various different problems, because I'm an energetic trauma release practitioner as well. And ultimately, I was releasing things and helping them to get to know themselves. And the same sort of stories would come through time and time again. Like when women would first come to me, they would be saying things like, I'm just scattered all the time. I just have no energy. I get really drained when I'm around groups of people or when I'm doing certain things. And not even when I'm doing certain things. These were blanket statements. I'm really drained all of the time. They were focusing on one negative aspect of themselves and painting that as the picture of who they were, which I knew couldn't possibly be true, because I had been with this journey of the menstrual cycle intimately for a period of time at that stage. And I'm like, well, you're not that every day. You are absolutely not that every day. There are definitely days when you are the complete opposite of that. And there's a whole spectrum of other days when you're, you know, various other things. So I just had to start teaching this as part of the work that I was doing to help give these women a broader perspective of who they actually were and help them to understand that actually they're not this one thing. They are so complex and diverse and they need to understand and appreciate all those aspects of themselves. And this is just a beautiful framework to help them to achieve that.
Thank you so much. It's so beautiful. I love how you were describing, in a way, it's a similar experience I've had to the things that I've shared through my business, and that you get prodded and pulled through your own explorations to be like, oh, actually, I have to share this. So I'm really honoring you for stepping into that as well. Would you be able to give us a description of the models, or the seasons of the models, for those who are listening?
Yeah, absolutely. So the work that I do is based on the concept that there are four seasons within each menstrual cycle. So each of the seasons will last for about 7 days. Winter comes a day or two before you bleed. So you move into your spring, spring crossing over into summer. Summer is when you ovulate, and then autumn, then coming into your premenstrual phase. So let's begin with winter. I'm always drawn to begin with winter because it's my kind of my favorite season. So winter is a beautiful time when we are called inward, and we're called inward because of the fact that we're most porous to the outside world during our winter. And so if we're out in the world fully in that time, we're absorbing so much energy from everything that's around us, which is why we're called to go inwards, because actually our own wisdom is very much available to us at that time. And while we're being distracted with all of everyone else's energy coming through to us during that period, we're missing out on all of this, you know, beautiful inner wisdom, which, you know, always whispers more quietly than the outside world does. This is why a lot of women may have a hard time with their bleed, because when you're not aware of the fact that it's specifically geared for rest and repair and for accessing your inner wisdom, you're doing the opposite of what your body is asking of you. And when we're doing the opposite of what our body's asking us, we're neglecting ourselves. You know, we're ignoring our own needs. You know, women are very good at ignoring our own needs because we've not really been taught that our needs are important.
So agree and, with you. You know, even I feel as if some people say like it's not true, but it is, that if there's that societal sort of communication, maybe not that our needs aren't important, but a misunderstanding of that cycle, and so a misunderstanding of the depths that we journey in our lives and even in a day, because I think there's cycles in a day, but
cycles everywhere. You start to see them everywhere. Yeah, you definitely do. And you know, and it's not just women who've been taught to ignore their needs. You know, the sort of societal push is that you put everyone else before yourself. You know, community is more important than the individual. And there's truth in both. There's truth in both of those concepts. You know, community is really important, and we innately look to belong as human beings. However, if we're belonging as people who don't even know who they are, then what are we actually contributing to the whole? And so, you know, we try to fast forward into that space of community, and we've not even laid the foundation stones of finding out who we are so that we can contribute to that.
Yeah, I heard a really beautiful, well, I read a beautiful quote yesterday, and it was like by Barbara Stanley, which it was a money book, but she was saying, if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for anyone else. Yeah. I felt like, oh, on a deep level, I so understand that, because it may work temporarily, you know, offering ourselves or giving when we're empty may work temporarily to keep things in balance, but overall it's going to build some sort of energetic mismatch somewhere.
When I do workshops with women on this, the first thing I do is get them to write down what the outer seasons mean to them. And there are always a lot of very similar threads in that, but there can be very different experiences of outer seasons too. For instance, on the last workshop that I did, there was a few ladies, like I'm in rural WA, and so there's a few ladies from the wheat belt. And so for me, summer, coming from Ireland, was, it just goes to show my optimistic personality. I remember sunshine and warmth and freedom, because we got 3 months out of school in the summertime. We'd have about 2 weeks of sunshine and we'd just glorious, and they were the days that we remembered. We just forgot about the rest of it. And so for me, that is summer, freedom and fun and social. For these women who've grown up in the wheat belt, summer was hot and sticky and hard work. It was like, you know, you're harvesting from morning to night. It's hard, laborious work. And so that's a very different experience. So your internal experience is going to be different too. So this doesn't say that in spring you have to be this person, in summer you have to be this person, in autumn, etc. It just says, this is your spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Here's an invitation to see who you are as you interact with yourself in those seasons. So you play around, you know.
And I'm just curious about spring because my birthday is on the first day of spring. what's spring?
Well, what is outer spring to you?
For it's really interesting because my partner's actually originally from the wheat belt as well. And for me, spring is daffodils and lamps. Like, because when I grew up, it was like, we lived on sort of rurally. The lambs always, like around my birthday, it was always loads of daffodils and loads of lambs. But he was telling me that here lambs are born in either winter or like a different whole other season, which I never knew. So I was like, oh, that's just blowing my mind. But yeah, that's what spring is to me, is like birthing and newness and freshness.
Yes. So that's the essence of spring. And actually, I find spring really, really difficult in my extended autumn, because spring is all about fresh energy, new energy, but it's also changeable, right? And so you've just moved out of winter, and winter was cold and dark and you wanted to sit by the fire and read a book and go inwards. Then that first sunshine comes through and it's warm, and you think, oh, I didn't even know I missed this until it was here again. And for me, I'm like, I'm so ready for summer right now. You know, I don't think I'm great at transition, but it's not, it's a gradual thing. You know, it's some sunny days and then there's like wintry days again, and then there's more sunny days. And for me, that just sets my nervous system off, because I just want to ease into the season of, you know, the warmer sunshine and all of those things. So there's the beautiful energy that comes in and then it's kind of gone again, you know, because then winter sort of comes back in again. It's a vulnerable energy. If it's warm for a week and everything starts to bud, and then we have a cold patch come through, then there's a risk. If we have a frost come through, there's a risk that everything will die off, you know. So it's got that sort of, it can have that edginess to it. And again, depending, I wish I had known about the seasons when I was younger, so I would know how I experienced my inner spring in my spring and in my summer. So it's the powers within it are the playfulness, the curiosity. So when you, exactly what you're saying, it's the spring lamb, and you know, as our spring started, we were having lambs. And it was just so beautiful to watch them like springing around the paddocks, you know, and they are just so full of joy, full of life, full of potential, you know. It's, and that's the beautiful energy. So you've, you know, when you've come out of your winter, the very end of your winter, you will have that sort of potent, you can have that potent visioning and inspiration that comes through with you, and to a certain extent clarity on your next steps forward if you're in a creative process. And so this is where you play with that, rather than get straight down to work and all serious and move forward. You go, okay, so something here is coming through, and how can I play with that? I know what my mind has interpreted to be, but you know, there's a million other potentials out there. So get curious with it, let's play with it, let's talk about it to different people to get different ideas without taking on their energy, because that can be the cold storm that wipes it out too quickly. But just inviting the right people into the conversation and just having fun, you know, it's a good time. So it's flirty, it's frivolous. It's for the majority of people, spring conjures up joyful memories and concepts and ideas. And so they're definitely the powers of spring. But just to be aware of the vulnerability that also lies within it. Yeah, don't charge forward too quickly. And then summer comes along. And summer, then you've got your energy. So if you think about summer, you know, where I grew up, it was bright until 10 o'clock at night. You know, even it didn't really get properly dark at all. And so your days are longer and the sun is shining during those longer days. And so you automatically have more energy. Your circadian rhythm has changed. You're not slowing down at 6 o'clock in the evening and you know, ready for bed by eight. You've got all of this exuberant energy. And so you can do a day's work and you can have a family barbecue and you can get stuff ready for the next day. And whatever the kids' troubles come to you, you can deal with them in a loving, wonderful, you know, motherly way. And when we tie summer back into our age, you know, our extended lifetime, then summer would be representative of our 20s into 30s, sort of mid-20s to mid-30s. When you do have that energy, you know, that all that energy that we spent going out and partying and staying up all night, that was there.
I did love that energy. I can't think of, I wouldn't want to do it now, but I did love that everlasting party energy.
It was so good, wasn't it? You go to work the next day, you're up for 24 hours, totally fine.
Yeah. In the UK as well, because I lived there when I was sort of 18 to 23-ish, and being able to go out and just have all that energy was always so fun.
And, you know, and then now you think of it and it's just exhausting thinking about it.
Yeah, not even enacting feels exhausting.
But that energy was actually there for us to have babies, because the babies would keep us awake all night and we could get up and still be loving and motherly and take care of all the things, because that's what that energy is actually for.
So not to party?
Apparently not. I think that comes in your second, well, probably your third spring, the spring that comes after your menopause. That's when you're supposed to party. But we didn't know any of this, so it's fine. Everything is as it's meant to be. It's a remembering of coming back. But, you know, I was 35 when I became a mom. I remember my mom saying to my sister, why is she struggling with it so much? She was like, well, she's a bit older, you know, because my sister had had her kids younger. That vibrant energy of being able to stay awake all night was just gone, you know. So then you're staying awake all night and having to figure out how to stay awake all day as well. You know, you do. But then you're depleting your adrenal glands as you're doing it. And at a time when you actually need to be really looking after your adrenal glands, because as your hormones change in your 40s, the adrenal glands take over as your caretaker. If they're already depleted, then that's when your energy levels are going to be massively affected. And if your energy levels are massively affected, you know, that's affecting everything. It's affecting how you feel healthily, like physically, mentally, emotionally. So you are being called to do these big tasks of meeting your shadow and releasing all of the trauma that you have been holding on to your whole entire life. So you kind of need that energy. You know, it is focused. It's, you know, that's the work of the 40s. It's to focus on you releasing all that you think that you were supposed to be growing into. And invariably, it's actually spent looking after little kids, feeling like you're not good enough at anything because you're being too stretched in too many different directions.
because I'm doing it just at the moment. I know we're going off track and I will go back to the seasons, but I'm in a very much in a period of like, well, at least with my business, like realizing that I built it when I was 27 and my energetics have changed and I've gotten to a place, not unwillingly and not out of alignment. It was in alignment till it wasn't, but yes. I'm now in a bit of needing to rejuvenate my own energy. Yes. In that process, there's this examination of like, okay, so that used to feel good, but now it doesn't. And challenging conscious conversations being had with people in my world at the moment.
Yeah, and it is interesting because we are here to evolve. We do evolve on a daily basis, and yet we try to hold on to those things that we thought that we were. And you know, this is the whole part of this seasonal journey, is we stop trying to hold on to who we thought we were. You know, you do sometimes until you don't. You are grounding into a much deeper understanding of who you are and your ever-changing, ever-evolving nature until it just becomes that. You know, you feel like you and I are quite often in the same space. We're following the bigger picture of it. We should probably be about 10 years apart on the journey, but... You know, we're incorporating collective consciousness into this whole understanding as well. And I do kind of feel like the entire world has been going through a perimenopause for the last few years.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thought. That's a really interesting thought. I agree. There's definitely been a lot shaking up and at least for me and what I'm witnessing in my community, like a call for a deeper maturity in how we hold ourselves that maybe before didn't matter, but in terms of the precision of energy and where we're wanting to put it, does matter more now.
It does matter more now. And I feel like that's the energy is, you know, it's been asking us to ground, to anchor into our true essence so that we can be that, so that we do have that maturity to offer from that space. And it's very different to a lot of the noise that is out there everywhere. But you know, that's the world, right? There's still teenagers just starting to bleed, and there's, you know, 20-year-olds who are in the full throes of their highest energy, you know. So everything always exists. Bringing it back to, I'm in my late 40s, so I would be classed as perimenopausal, although I don't particularly enjoy that term because it's sort of pathologizing what we are going through, which is vastly deeper and richer than a diagnosis. So I'm in my late 40s. I'm still cycling on a regular monthly basis, but my cycle has changed energetically because my being is preparing for menopause. So our autumn, so we're not doing this consecutively at all. Our autumn inner regular cycle is when our inner critic shows up. Our inner critic shows up, which can be classified and pathologized as PMT. But what it's actually doing is showing us where we're out of alignment, showing us where we're not catering to our own needs, showing us what needs to come to the surface so that we can release it. And of course, when we sit with our inner critic as opposed to blame everything and everyone around us for what is showing up or try and push it down, when we actually sit with it and engage with it, it gives us the gold that we get to release in our winter with our bleed. And so being in my late 40s, that also equates to like an extended autumn, but I still have the monthly cycling into all of the seasons, but the seasons feel different. So there's a lot more of the inner critic showing up. So there's a lot more shadow work to be done in this period and a lot more realization as to what no longer serves me, which kind of sounds very similar to what you're experiencing at the moment as well with your, you know, if this really isn't working for me now, then I'm, you know, I'm moving in a different direction. And so it's very much that. It might not feel as maybe as intense for you in your, you're still in your 30s, right?
Yeah, I'm late 30s, I'm 37, but it feels pretty intense, but I don't know what you're feeling.
In my late 30s, I definitely wasn't feeling the intensity of this. I think I was still quite naive in the the process of meeting Shadow and releasing. Like it was pretty easy.
A whole other ball.
There's my monthly cycle, there's the daily cycle through that, there's the monthly cycle, there's the my being in my 40s, so that being in my autumn. Then there's the whole entire world being in an autumn as well. And so it's the reverberations are coming through no matter where you are with it.
Yeah. I love how we're two projectors, so we don't go linearly. So I don't mind. So just to give a warning to everyone, we will probably bounce all over the place. But I'm a 7 in the Enneagram, which means I'll normally lean towards feeling good rather than shadow work. If I have a choice, my energy will naturally want to like reframe and go higher vibe and rather than dive into the shadow. But probably the treasure is found in the shadow for me. So there's normally quite a lot of resistance until I go there, but then when I go there, it's pretty flowy. There's normally like a period where I'm in deep resistance to shadow work.
I'm at the stage where I'm just have no choice but to surrender to it. So it's just like it's there, and because so when in your inner autumn of your cycle, your monthly cycle, your energy levels dip, right? And we live in a society where we're supposed to be on the go all the time. You move through your summertime where you are that multitasking, I can do everything and it comes easily to me and it's all fine and it's all great. And then there's this line that you cross into autumn and it's suddenly like, no, I can't do everything. Why the hell did I just say yes to doing all of these things for over the next week because I have no interest in doing those things? It comes with this level, you know, being with your cycle and understanding that, it comes with this level of that maturity of going, I don't want to do that. And so I'm actually not going to do that because my energy is lower now. And so I need to be discerning about where I put it. Because the more discerning I am about where I put my energy right now, the more I will get out of my winter when I come through to it. But when I arrive at my winter frazzled and having not served myself and served everyone else instead, then my winter is destroyed. And what we get when we mind our energy, when we serve our needs, when we slow down the pace as we move towards winter, is we enter winter and we get this wash of oxytocin. And it, your winter, your bleed becomes this immensely pleasurable experience. Now, in a society where we've been brought up to assume that your bleed is an inconvenience, is just needs to be tolerated, is probably going to be extremely painful and messy, and you know, you have to pretend that it's not happening at all cost. This is the complete opposite narrative to what can actually be experienced at that time. That's the gift that you get for actually taking care of your own needs.
Well, I really love that when we booked this, that you checked where you'd be in your cycle to make sure it was at the right time. I think that's really cool. And I'm voicing it as an expander for people who we can plan our lives like this. It does work with a little practice as well.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. It's not like the cycle restricts us in that, you know, you can't go and do a podcast interview in your winter. Absolutely, you can. But if you've experienced doing outward things in your winter and they have slammed you because you don't even know that that's not a thing that suits your energy, then you come away thinking bad things about yourself. Your self-dialogue is like, oh, you know, I couldn't even string a sentence together in, you know, what was I even thinking? You know, why do I think I can do things like that? When the reality is, you just didn't know that that wasn't the time when you would be fully self-expressive. Your summertime is when you get to be that person. And sometimes even in your autumn time, sometimes autumn is better for self-expression. It's a little edgier. You're maybe not as nice, but you can most definitely tell truth, and you are very discerning about where you can be very discerning about where you put your energy. You're less likely to ramble off in lots of different tangents. You're going to come to, you're going to know what you want to say and you're going to say it, you know. So you, this is about having a framework that exists within you and you finding out who you are within that framework. So first 3 months at least of engaging with your cycle in this way, you're literally the observer. So you come along to spring and you are really busy and you're doing all the things and there's no time for play or curiosity or fun. You know, it's all very serious and you find that you're extremely drained and you're wondering why. You come to autumn and you're being asked to slow down and you're still on the go. You've got a project deadline that you need to finish, but you've also got stuff going on at home and you've got so many other demands and it's all too much. Whereas if all of that had come the week before, you would have been able to put them all into different compartments, sort them all out, do a bit of this, a bit of that, a bit of the other, and it would have all got done. But when you come into your autumn, you're wanting to focus on one thing and be able to do that right. You want to do, you know, it's a great time for editing something as well. If you're editing your podcast, you're going to hear the things that you wouldn't hear in your summertime. You're editing your entire life. And so it can be a really focused and productive time, but not if all of the people want all of you all of the time. Then you're going to feel scattered. So you start to see how women develop these concepts of who they are because they're exhausted over there and the exhaustion hasn't really shifted in their autumn because still trying to do all the things. There's powers in each of the seasons that when we tap into them and we go, ah, I don't have to be the thing that I think I'm supposed to be for everyone. This is a power that I can access. What can I do with that? Even the social aspect of summer, if you're an introvert, then that doesn't mean going out and partying. That means inviting your best friend over and having a lovely meal together. And that fills your cup up, you know. So it's about you. It's about your individual nature. And this, and I've been doing it for years now, and I'm still every single cycle learning more about myself. It just never ends, you know. It's beautiful.
I love that. And how does that connect to the actual bleed cycle? So I'm sure we can all guess, but I'm just wondering.
So winter generally tends to arrive a day or two before you bleed. And so it hasn't been as distinct for me lately, but it used to be extremely obvious that suddenly it would feel like the world was too loud and too noisy and too bright and too stimulating. And so I would just be like, I'm out. And that's we call that the call to separation. So that you generally get a day or two before your period. And quite often I found that that was when it was sort of entangled with the space of meeting my inner critic. And so I'd be working on some shadow stuff. And so it actually required me to be out of other people's energy. And it was interesting because I have an 11-year-old son. And what I noticed the pattern unfolded was his energy would notice my energy withdrawing before I was conscious of it. And so suddenly he would need me intensely, and that sort of brought to the forefront that like, oh, this is too much, you know, get away, just leave me alone. So as I sat and I observed, and you know, it all sort of unfolded for me, I was able to come to the point where I was like, ah, okay, call to separation, and be able to explain this to him. I'm like, right, you know how you're like really intensely needing me that right now? That's because your energy sensing me departing. I need to depart and you need to, you know, do what you need to do, which is like such a small thing. But one of the key aspects of this is not just your relationship with yourself, which is what it's all about. As I journey now into or through my perimenopause, I'm understanding the groundwork that I did for my other relationships, that serving my needs and being able to express to those I love what my needs were without it being a bone of contention has laid the groundwork for these deep dives into the shadow, where I really do need to just come away like for more than just a few minutes or a few hours, you know, really just like for a few days need to get away from the people and the noise, and having them understand that that's this stage is. And so there's communication already, the groundwork of communication is already there, the ability to say, this is how I'm feeling, I'm not sure why, or I am sure why, and this is what I need right now. And even just for my partner and son, they know it already, like they've before I've voiced it, they've already picked up on it. And so it's not a personal affront to them when I'm needing to withdraw my energy. It's they understand it. And so I'm not saying it's smooth sailing all the time, but the intimacy in your relationships gets stronger due to the intimacy of your own relationship with self.
I'm about our conversation saying that we were going to have a chat today, and she's just had a bub and her bleed started again, just started. And so she was wondering if there's anything she should be aware of, or if that changes how her cycle runs.
Just like when you start bleeding, you know, it takes a little while to settle in. Having said that, everyone is entirely different. So how it will play out for her will be entirely different, which is the point of all of this. So I can send you, I've created a menstrual journal PDF, which I can send to you.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, I'd love that. I'll pop it on the thing.
You can use that. And so basically all she really needs to do is understand that there are these seasons through her cycle, and as she begins back into her cycle, they may be all a bit mixed up. She starts on day one of her cycle, so the day that she bleeds, and she just uses the journal, sort of has prompts for how you're feeling physically, mentally, how you're sleeping, you know, all how you're eating, just giving you a good insight into who you were and are on that day. It often helps to regulate your cycle because you're paying attention to it, right? And when we observe an atom, we change how the atom interacts. And so as we observe and interact with our cycle, we're creating a partnership which was already there, but we were just ignoring it. It wants to interact with you. There's a relationship forming now. That's no longer dysfunctional. You know, it's a framework that's holding her through this next phase. And so it's her getting to know who she is on each day of her cycle, and then beginning to notice the patterns so that she will be able to notice when she's really not coping by herself, because, you know, early motherhood can be really difficult at times. And we're not very good at asking for help, and we think that we should be able to do it all because everyone else seems to be able to, which is just not true. And so she'll be able to begin to identify the days or the periods of time where she is most likely to struggle and therefore needs to ensure that she's got support and backup. And so even if it just means that she can go and have a sleep for a half an hour on a day where her energies are already, when she knows her energy is going to be really depleted, that's not to say that obviously there won't be other days when it just happens because she's been up all night. Understanding her cycle, putting support in place for her late autumn and winter to allow her to rest, even if just for really short periods of time, and find her expression to say, this is what I need. And, you know, for a lot of women to begin with, it's a case of a red mark on the calendar, on the communal family calendar, so that, and everyone understands that that's a day that they definitely need to pull more weight, you know, until it gradually gets to be part of the everyday conversation, so that it's easy for everyone to understand when she needs more support. And that will make a huge difference to the whole experience of motherhood, because we were never supposed to do it alone.
I love that idea of just putting a mark on there to start introducing the conversation as well, if it's not one that's already been had. I forget sometimes with the circles we've run in or I run in that not everyone just blahs on about their bleed because I'm so used to it now. But yes, I love that suggestion.
And it's lovely that you are in those circles, that we're in those circles, you know, because the more we do just talk about it like it's a normal part of life, which it is, the more everyone else understands that. And so it's not such a scary thing to talk about anymore for those people who are actually afraid of talking about it because they exist.
And I remember that because my doctor had asked me if my cycle was heavy, and I was like, how do you know? Like, if it's not like I'm like, oh, this is normal, this isn't. And so I started asking people and I learned so much. I was like, oh my God, like yours lasts for that long, and like that's how heavy. And it's, so then I could understand if my cycle, what was happening, because I had no idea. And so yes. I only had experienced my own.
Experienced your own in isolation because we were taught not to talk about it. Uh-huh. You know, it should be a conversation that every woman has with every woman. It's not. And so, you know, we get to these later years in our life, we get a good way in to cycling, having no real understanding of even the physical aspects of it, other than the problematic parts of it, which are, you know, they're the only parts that are talked about.
I mean, I love this idea of tracking, and I think it's really cool, that calendar. But are there any rituals or ways that people can help make their relationship to their cycle healthier that you would think of or suggest?
Really just acknowledging who you are on every day of your cycle. So the process of tracking it, going back to when I was working in fertility, and even for, you know, my own process of conceiving, I was tracking my cycle. But this is not that. This is tracking who I am in my cycle. That allows me the understanding of what I can pull up, what strengths I can pull on in that period, and what my needs are. That can allow me to be kind to myself and go, oh, okay, this is what I need at this time, or else I'm not going to be, I won't be functioning in the way that I want to. It also allows you, you know, if you are having a rough ride in your autumn, rather than allowing the inner critic to completely take over and tell you how crap you are all the time and, you know, what a terrible job you're doing of everything in your whole entire life, you know, you hold a conversation with them. So as far as rituals go, for me, the most ritualistic part of my cycle is my autumn, because I have all the tools ready and waiting.
I hadn't thought that till you said that, but I was like, I think I've naturally sorted that out too, because it's the time I need it.
Yes, you really, really like, you get obliterated in autumn unless you know this stuff. People, you know, I remember in my 20s, you know, I spent all of my autumn on painkillers and starflower oil and evening primrose oil to try and, you know, like take care of all the things. Really, all I needed to do was tune into who I was and what I needed. And, you know, so I love using Byron Katie's work in my autumn, because, you know, your inner critic really wants to run rampant with all the stories. So using her work to ask, is this true? Which, you know, always leads to one answer, but broader investigation is so freeing. You know, it's like I can continue down that rabbit hole of this story that's playing out in my mind, that has been playing out in my mind for all of my entire life, or I can actually harness the power in this part of my cycle, which is discernment, and say, is this true? And allow that answer to rise up from within me and understand that I can drop this story, because I can move in, lean into it. I can understand what is at the core of this story. I can turn it around and find out what it is that I need to release in my bleed in order for this story to be gone from my life. That is probably my most used ritual in my cycle. Somatic exercises. So, like, you know, I know there's a lot of women out there who do very spiritual rituals with their cycle. I'm not that person. I don't have anything against them. I love them. I just never get around to doing them. So
I'm so similar. Everyone thinks because of what I do that I must have a lot of rituals, but actually I feel like we're the ritual, and that because we're the ritual or we're the ceremony, that how we, it naturally arises what we need to do. If I do need to do when I do, but it's not like on this day or in this part of my cycle or when this happens, I have to do that. Like, I'm very much not that person at all.
I can't be that person. I love those people. I see what they do and I go, oh, I want that in my life. And then I just never do it. So it's clearly not for me.
Yeah.
So.
And I think I have done it like for at times, maybe especially when I first started on this journey and really like dove into that as a practice, not necessarily around my cycle, but trying to thinking that would get me further along a path or something. And yeah, I've just come to the awareness that my rituals naturally arise within me, and that's what I need to follow.
It's already there. You already have all of it within you. You're just too busy judging and putting yourself down and getting lost in the outside world. You're not anchored into who you are. I'm not saying that this is the only way. It's absolutely not the only way to anchor into your own true essence. And again, everyone will find their path and their way of doing it. For me, this, I had no choice. That, you know, this, it was one of those moments where it deeply called me to the altar and I had to respond. And, you know, one of those, again, one of those beautiful callings that had no agenda other than doing something for myself and more deeply understanding something. They come along briefly in life, and you know, we distract ourselves with all the other things that we think it's supposed to be until that one thing, clear calling, comes through and you're just like, oh, okay, right, I'm listening. I sometimes give my blood back to the earth. I used to do that much more ritualistically than I do now. But yeah, my ritual really is to notice when my cup is not full. Go, all right, well, this is what season I'm in. This thing is clearly not that I'm doing right now. It's clearly not working for me in this season. So what can I play around with? What can I change next time around in order to extract more from my next cycle? Yeah. Not more in a way, but, you know, more benefit.
Do you have thoughts on offering sessions during your winter?
Yeah, it depends. You know, some cycle, it depends on how I've been looking after myself. It depends on whether or not I've allowed myself time out. I mean, like, in a realistic world, women are out there working 9 to 5, looking after families, doing all the things. And so following this and allowing this to be part of their lives is literally taking like 5 minute blocks out of their day to replenish, you know, or 10 minutes if they can manage to do that, or, you know, going to bed 15 minutes earlier so that they can do some deep breathing and really connect in with themselves. You know, I don't like to put the ideas out there that there's certain things that you should or shouldn't do. This is to support you and hold you to be the best version of who you can be. And so if giving sessions in your winter works for you, then do it. If it normally works for you and this winter, it absolutely, you can feel that it's not going to, give yourself permission to cancel. Make this intimacy with your menstrual cycle so much a part of you that everyone that you work with knows that there's a possibility that you might cancel in your winter, and that's okay.
Yeah, I often get asked during training that question of do you offer sessions when you're on your bleed? And for me, I notice that I don't know if it's just the energy my aura is putting out or what, but there'll be less bookings in that period. And so then I view that those who do come in are like super divine and super sacred. And that's just the belief system I've created for myself. But it seems that way, like it naturally seems to align to my cycle. And that's without me adjusting my calendar or anything. It's just naturally aligning. As occasionally it feels off like a bit much. But yeah, I haven't had a moment where I've had to think of cancelling that I can think of, but where I genuinely needed that. It's a sacred time. So we do, well, at least sessions wise, I do go deeper. It isn't, the session is naturally different because of where my energy is. So the space I'm holding is very different.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. And like, some of my regular clients, they know when they need an autumn session from me, because it's like so direct and to the point, and they'll be expressing something and I'll be like, yeah, but have you looked at it like this? And so I'll be ensuring they are more discerning, whereas there's a softer energy to to my other seasons, and so obviously again the right people come at the right time of the cycle, and when you are in tune with your cycle, because the exact same thing happens to me, and it's not even just with my cycle, it's like periods of time before I know that my energy might be depleted. My calendar is suddenly empty and I'm like, oh, okay. So,
I often wonder about that. I'm like, what is it that my energy is putting into the world? And because I had a period in December where for the whole month, I was just really heavy, but I was also had a lot of clients, and that's not normally the case. So normally when I'm really heavy and depleted, my energy or my calendar sorts itself out. And I was like, what is happening with my energy system to the universe right now?
Interesting. Well, maybe there was just a whole lot of shadow in those sessions that you needed to interact with in order to let it all disperse. Oh goodness. One thing I've noticed is because sometimes I do with the trauma release work, sometimes I do email sessions where I'm not actually interacting with the client face to face. Mostly I do telephone sessions. But if I've got a lot of email sessions on in my summer, then that really doesn't work for me, because I need to be speaking to people, and so sitting at a computer, and
I'm best in my is it autumn, just before my bleed?
Yeah,
I'm best in that with computer work, where if I sit, I can sit for quite a long time and like do a lot of computer work, whereas summer I'm more like networky, wanting to be chatty.
When you drop into that, you can see how efficient it actually is. Like, because if you know that you can get all of your shit done in your autumn, which I'm the same. If you think about it, like in the outer seasons, back in the time gone by, we had to light fires in the winter, right, and to keep us warm, to survive. And so in autumn, we would have collected all that wood and stacked it up and made sure that it was ready and waiting for us in our winter. And so that's the energy that we're working with in our autumn. It's like the other things don't matter. All of the things don't matter anymore. You get focused on what you need in order to bring you through. And that could be a project that you're working on, like it could be related to your business. And so you get all of the stuff done that you've been putting off and putting off and putting off. And then you sit down, and it's like totally easy and you really enjoy doing it. And you're like, why did I spend all that time worrying about it in my spring and summer?
That annoys me so much. I do. I still do. I'm just as you're talking, I'm wondering about something I've found challenging maybe. But if we operate this way and other people are more in that push, I always have to be on full on, and we're more like weaving with our cycle. What would you say to suggestions to that? Yeah, I think for me, because I do honor my energy and how it ebbs and flows, and I try to communicate that to people, and I don't always feel understood when I'm like, today it's just not there. Like this is, I can't. Yeah. Anything.
Yeah. A few of my clients are amazing and they literally have changed their conversation to when somebody asks them how they are, they say, well, I'm on day, whatever day they're on. So that means it's like the rest of the conversation is completely normal, but they're, explaining it and from a reference point. And so the person might never have heard of this way of interacting with the world or their cycle ever before, but it plants a little seed and they go, oh, I wonder what that means, you know, or they might interact with it a few times and ask the question. And so really the rest of the world never matters. We've convinced ourselves that it does, but it really doesn't, because it only reflects what we are. If we're still a little bit unsure of expressing ourselves in that way, then that's okay. But you can go on that journey with that. Like, why am I unsure? Why yeah. am I still
seeking their approval? Yeah, and for me, it would be more that self-judgment of myself for not being able to honor that, even though it's like I'm in the middle, you know? I'm probably half going, okay, I know I can't work, but then I'm judging myself for not working. There's probably a something there.
Exactly. And so then you express it to someone and you assume that they haven't received it because really you're judging yourself when that's not the truth. So the more comfortable you become with it and the more you completely, it's who you are, it's how you express yourself, the more everyone else is normal with it. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And because I have these conversations with everyone I'm interacting with, and so then men come and go, huh. So how does that work for men then? And you go, well, you have these seasons as well. And because they recognize it, they go, yeah, because sometimes I'm like, you know, totally on top of it. And then other times I'm just, you know, really, you know, low energy and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, because you do it too. I see you can use the moon to gauge your cycle if you wish to engage with it more and understand yourself at a deeper level. I feel like men aren't as impacted by their cycle as women are. That's a very general statement. Really, again, depends on the individual. They definitely do ebb and flow through a cycle, and that can be gauged by the moon. But obviously, you know, for women, it is a physical thing. We are actually physically ovulating and physically bleeding. It's got another dimension for us. But absolutely every human being on the planet, everything on the planet lives cyclically. The more we have that conversation, the more it just is normal, the more you free it. You know, it's out there. People get to play with it. People get to explore it. It's for everyone if they wish to engage with it.
But here's a question I've just started asking everyone, so it's not so related, but I know that you, well, I've witnessed you doing this in a way, but it's, what's your view on manifesting and calling things into our lives?
The first time I started exploring manifesting many years ago, I was living in Sydney. I'd probably been exploring it for a while. We were living in Sydney and we were in a two-bedroom apartment with a balcony. And my husband has always been a big fan of a 10-year plan. So this is my dream. And if I do all of these things, then in 10 years time, I can achieve my dream. And so his dream at the time was to have a piece of land and to be running at permaculture regenerative methods. And all the things, you know, if I go to get this job and I do this many hours and I would save up this much money and da 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 da. And I said to him, stop. I said, ever since I've known you, you've had a 10-year plan and, you know, none of them have come to fruition. So get out on the balcony, plant some seeds. If you want to have, if you want to be growing stuff, if you want to be on the land, start with what you have and do it. Do it now. Put it in your life in whatever way you can. It might not be the big picture, but it is whatever you can. And so he did. And so he grew vegetables on the balcony in Sydney. And maybe 4 years later, we were on 100 acres. We are on 100 acres. We have chickens and pigs and cows and sheep, and the veggie garden, funnily enough, is the smallest aspect of it. He still talks about these big plans he has for growing veggies, and then spends all of his time doing the other things. The one thing I say about manifesting is, because most people want to manifest joy, that's ultimately what they're aiming for with all of the things that they're trying to manifest into their lives is that sense of joy that they will get from it. And I always just say the path to joy is one joyful step at a time. You don't get to joy from anything that's not joy. So invite joy into your life. Do something in the moment that is joyful, and then do another thing that's joyful, and another thing, and another thing. And before you know it, your whole entire life is joyful. And maybe that thing that you thought was the thing that was going to make you joyful comes, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's something else entirely. And our mind decides what it is that is that feeling that we're actually trying to achieve, whereas we just go straight for the feeling and then we have it and the mind can
catch
up.
Thank you. I love that you brought joy in, and I always remember when you guys moved there, I felt so happy because we had chatted about it in the conscious conversations and like held that energy. And it reminds me of how powerful it is to hold something in a group as well, and to be, because I find that with the work that we do and the different like coaching things that we do, that somehow speaking something into a group or speaking something out, even if it's like you don't know what it is, but you're just like out that.
Yes.
It is quite powerful without it needing to be clean or anything, just conscious.
Yeah, you know, tying everything back in, and the menstrual intimacy work, you know, you're getting in touch with your needs and you're getting in touch with your ability to express your needs. And that is a really, really difficult thing for a lot of women to do. First of all, even knowing what their needs are, but secondly, expressing them, asking to receive, you know, that's not it's in our DNA, but it's not, you know, in our conditioning at all. And so, you know, that a lot of women do struggle to manifest because they're not open to receiving, and they don't even know that they're not open to receiving it. And so growing up in Ireland, you know, you go to somebody's house and they automatically offer you food. But there's this thing that Irish people are taught is to say no to when somebody offers you something. Say, no, don't put yourself to any bother. No, I'm absolutely fine. You have to say no at least 3 or 4 times before you can actually possibly maybe say yes. Oh, go on then. And I remember with my ex-boyfriend being at home in Ireland, and we'd go to someone's house and we'd be on the way there, and he'd be like, oh my God, I'm starving. And we'd get there and someone would offer him something and he'd say no. And I'd be like, well, no, you're starving. Like, you know, he means yes, you know.
Yeah, I find it's the opposite in our culture, in that I find I say yes to food even when I'm not hungry, because it's polite to take food that someone's offering you. I don't have to take everything that's offered to me.
And that's a thing as well, isn't it? You know, it's like you're trying to manifest this particular thing and that you're getting distracted with all the other things that are coming in because you feel obliged to say yes to them. Yeah. And it's like, well, let's just stay in my lane and continue to focus on what it is that I'm calling in, because that food doesn't bring me joy. I don't want that food.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so interesting. I'm becoming more comfortable with some of that again, like the not having the voice or not being able to express. And so a part of me not being expressed in the world alongside some other things. So
we need more of your expression in the world.
Yeah. And as we draw towards the end, is there anything else still sitting with you that you want to express around menstrual intimacy or from your heart?
I just really wish that this was something that was ingrained in our world, because although it's not something to restrict who you are or what you do, it really does. Having this knowledge really holds you to be all that you are. Like, if you knew that once you entered your 40s, your energy levels would deplete, but they're depleting because you've got very important work on hand and need to focus on that and in order to alchemize it, you wouldn't put things off in your 30s. that you really are passionate about and want to progress with. Ultimately, having this knowledge helps you to extract the most out of your life for each phase that you are in. And also just to understand that there is no phase that's not purposeful. You know, it all serves a purpose, and it all serves a purpose for your highest good and for your evolution. And so although menopause gets a really bad rap, just like quite often menstruation gets a really bad rap, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. We can share this knowledge. We can hold each other as we move through each of the different phases of this with that understanding of what is truly happening. And so, you know, it's a really good practice for anyone who's working with other women in a sort of a therapeutic way to have this understanding, because the things that show up for women in their 40s is going to be very different to what shows up for them in their 30s. And you know, they can have very similar tones in that, you know, a woman in her 30s who's just had a baby and a woman in her 40s who's going, is nearing menopause, you know, they're probably going to have the same level of depletion and exhaustion and overwhelm. But they're coming from very different spaces and need very different levels of support in order to help them gain the most from their experience. We should be aiming to gain as much out of our experiences as we can. And, you know, without all of this beautiful knowledge, chunks of time disappear and you look back and go, oh, I wish I'd known what I know now, if I'd known it then. My deepest desire is that this is at some point just a way of life for all women. And you know, there's no need to explain it, there's no need to justify it. It is what it is. It's an amazingly efficient, beautiful, fluid system that lives within us, and you know, it's only in the continuous trying to work against it and fit into a system that is not a feminine informed system that makes us less than what we know that we are.
Thank you so much, Sandra. We hope that this has ripples on all the women who need to connect with your work. I really enjoyed that conversation. I always enjoy my conversations with you. This feels super
fun. I love having our conversations. It always lights me up. And so I'm always so grateful for you and my life. Thank you so much.
Likewise, sister.